workshop on e-fraud. And so we made contact with Dean, and he was very gracious in accepting our invitation, and we're very happy to have both of them with us. E-fraud. I happened to be home early one afternoon, and I caught Dr. Phil. And Dr. Phil was interviewing this older lady, and the family had written in, very concerned about their mother, their aunt, who had established this relationship online. Never met the person. It'd been over a year. And the amount of money that was being requested of her, and she was so gracious in sending this money off. And there was excuses. He had yellow fever, and he needed money for medication. He had to pay taxes. He was unfairly put in jail, and he needed money for bail money. And it went on and on and on. The short of the long, when Dr. Phil totaled up all of the money that not only she had given, but relatives, because the wireless at one point refused to accept any more money to send over to this person. So she had relatives sending $40,000, $50,000, $26,000. $1.4 million in just over a month, or a year. And Elizabeth was telling me about her friend that had a phone call just the other night. And these people were asking for all this personal information. And they were going to come over and give her a $300 gift. They never showed up. Fortunately, Elizabeth talked to her and said, "You don't give information out like that." These people kept phoning all night because they thought they had someone on the hook and they could get more money. This is what we're facing. And Dean will share some of this. And just to set it up, he said that FBI, was it last year, said $8 billion in e-fraud taken in. Dean, welcome.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you very much for the lunch. I was very impressed that you named a pork after my partner called Jerk Pork. He was very impressed too. They don't name much after him. So, my name's Dean Ross. I've been with the Regina Police Service now for, holy, I guess 25 years. So if you know my age, I started when I was about six. I have the honor to speak to various groups in my coordinator position of e-crimes in the Regina Police Service. What we do is we go around to all groups, whether it's seniors, whether it's private groups. We do a lot of government talks, and we could actually put together a full 1 week, 8 hour days presentation on the amount of fraud through computers, through phones that goes on. So this is just a very, very small part of what we deal with. But the things that I will show you is exactly what we deal on a daily basis with the Regina Police Service. So when I talk about stories, this isn't in New York or overseas, this is in Regina, Saskatchewan, and it affects us on a daily basis. If you have any questions throughout, we'll go through it pretty quickly, so either just throw your arm up or throw a plate at me or something, get my attention, and anything at all, because we really talk from quite an extensive level from computers and different things, so if you're not quite sure what I'm talking about, please feel free just to interrupt me and I'll backtrack and go from there. But once again, this is strictly Regina stuff, and if we see it in Regina, I can guarantee it's seen across the world. Okay, so the first thing we'll talk about, by far the most popular scam that we deal with for people over the age of 55 is what we call a grandparent scam. Grandparent scam also goes by emergency scam, things like that, but it's all the same principle. And the reason we speak about this scam first, this was the one main topic that we can talk about and have suspects that still live in Canada. As a matter of fact, this is the biggest one, and it originates typically out of Montreal in the St. Laurent area of Montreal. And that's why we speak about this first, because the suspects involved in this, the middle people, are actually in Canada. So we have some say of what we do. Now, if any of you of being a victim of this or an attempt victim, what it is people will get a phone call from somebody pretending to be either a grandson, a granddaughter, a nephew, or a niece, saying that, you know, grandpa, grandma, or aunt and uncle, I've gotten a car accident, I've been arrested, I need money. It's always the same story to these people. They follow a script through, and they will pressure you to send them money. They'll say, hey, please don't tell my brothers or sisters or mom and dads, things like that, I need your help. And the first thing they do is say, you know what, I need $1,000, I'm in jail, can you send me the money through Western Union? And we've had victims, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in Regina alone, where they've fallen for it. The problem with this scam now is we don't have a course to go after them. Yes, it's in Montreal, but 3 years ago, the RCMP section looking after this have 14 members on a project looking after this specific fraud. They haven't taken a file in 3 to 4 years because there's 3,000 to 4,000 files waiting. So we sent it to them, but there's nothing that they can do with the manpower that they have. They have made arrests on some people over the years as it goes, but they actually aren't even accepting new files. So that's why we have to come out and educate people about how this takes place. I'm sure all of us have walked into a place where it's a furniture store or a car dealership, and there's the worst thing I hate, and I hope there's no ex-car dealerships here or dealers, but walking on that lot, and you just want to be left alone and you want to look around. But you get approached by high sale tactics. No different than this. The sales pitch is on, yeah, my lawyer's right here. It may even look like a real legitimate phone number, things like that, and they'll walk you right through the scam. First of all, if you know Canadian justice at all, most times you don't need money to get out of jail. We always see that shows where you have to pay cash and bonds out. Very, very, very seldom happens in Canada. You're released on what's called the cashless bond. Sign a piece of paper. If you don't show up to court, you pay $500. I worked 4 years at the courthouse in Regina, and once in 4 years I collected a bond from somebody out of the thousands of people that we've released. Has anybody ever got a phone call or been a victim in regards to this? We get about 2 or 3 a week that are out money. Some people catch on and realize that they're being scammed and hang up the phone. What we tell you, if you're not 100% sure, you get the phone number and you call your family and family members around and say, listen, I got a call from Bill or John or Mark or whoever that they got in trouble. Can you make sure this is the case? And I guarantee you 100% will be a fraudulent activity on these parts. The money that gets sent to Montreal, of course, the bad guys keep a little chunk of it, and the rest is sent to wherever they're from. And those places have been Malaysia, Jamaica, Nigeria, the Ukraine, China. It gets sent all across the world. And they just follow a script to the T. It's high-pressure sales. They always call first thing in the morning or last thing at night. Like we all are. We're not at least I am. I'm barely sharp during the daytime. So first thing in the morning, last thing at night, they're the people that are tired or just waking up, and they take advantage of that fact. And they'll press you and press you and press you. You're in charge. You step back. You make the phone calls. Because I guarantee it would be a scam.
Excuse me?
Yes.
I got lost in Montreal. You mentioned other places.
These scams originate
in other places.
The ones we deal with originate from Montreal. The money gets sent. We trace the money back to Montreal. But from there, of course, that's just the middle person. They keep a little bit of that money and then send it to their terrorist organizations or gangs or wherever they're from across the world. So they'll get a little 10% fee every time they go to a Western Union, and I hope no one used to work or works for Western Union, because unfortunately it's the most common way to transfer money, is all you need to do is show up at a Western Union outlet, which is Safeway, Grab Bag, Confectionaries, you name it. There's dozens around Regina, with a piece of ID. They're always picked up with false ID. We all have these new, and they're really nice, driver's license that you can see through the hologram. They're squirreled, and everybody thought 4 years ago they'd never be counterfeited. You can get them for $400 online with one push of a button. So they show up into Montreal or wherever they're from, and they give this identification. We track it. Well, we can't find this person, and good luck with video surveillance from there. So it's an awful tough thing for us to prove. especially that they're not taking files anymore. Okay. Next slide. This is a funny one. It's been around for 5, 6, 7 years. Whether you know it or not, you've all got phone calls from these people. Microsoft, of course, is the largest computer company in the world that everybody's familiar with. And you'll get a phone call from a person very hard to understand saying, you have something wrong with your computer. I'm going to take your computer over. I'm going to fix your computer. And now you're going to give me your credit card number and I'm going to charge you money. The average hit was only $200 to $300 per time, but you're also giving all your information out there. First of all, Microsoft doesn't do anything over the phone. It's all sent. It's all products that they send, but they never do business over the phone to you, period. Sometimes you'll even get a phone call, and if anybody's got a phone call, picked it up, and it's dead air, that means wherever they're from, typically Africa, Asia, Southeast, they'll hit a button, they'll sporadically throw a million phone calls out at once, and the first one that lights up, they'll talk to you. But they usually don't, you won't be able to hear them, and they won't disconnect for a few seconds. So you'll pick it up, you'll hear nothing, or sometimes you'll hear chatter. That's coming from like a boiler room or what we call an internet cafe from somewhere overseas. So you were about to be a victim of that. If you ever get a call like that, the easiest thing to say is, listen, I just don't have a computer. And they will hang up that phone so fast on you to go on to the next, because that's wasting their time. When we get them, we love to play with them. So we keep them on for half an hour, and they're swearing every word at us that they've ever heard over a half an hour period. We just laugh at them. There was an article that came out today saying that we should be nicer to these scammers on the phone. From an expert. I'm not sure how an expert would ever say that. No, don't be nice to them. These people are trying to take your hard-earned money and trying to create counterfeit things from your information. If you hang up the phone, hang it up loud, curse, do what you want. Don't be nice to them. This expert did not know what he was talking about in this article. Has anybody received a virus one before? Super common. As I say, the only saving grace is we haven't had any local identity thefts. The one gentleman at Edmonton was out about 13,000. I think that's the highest around this area, which in the whole scam world is not real high, but it was an unusual one where he got hit again and again. They kept charging his card. So if you were ever a victim and lost money, you need to go and protect your credit by getting hold of a TransUnion, a place that can watch your bureaus on your credit rate and flag that. Because somewhere down the line, somebody may try to reproduce a credit card with you, with your name on it, things like that. Okay, super common one. Yes?
How can you tell when you get a phone call and sometimes there's absolutely nothing on the other phone? And other times, recognize after they started the first 4 or 5 words that you're being put on and you hang up the phone, but how can you be sure that they haven't already tapped your phone and able to make use of it some other way?
The only ones that can be reused are mostly cell phones that will get hit that way. Landlines, they don't have the ability to do it. It's too hard for them to do that. The thing I'll talk about numbers, though, is you can have, like I live out of town, so our local prefix is 781. And you can have a phone number come up, 306-781, and it's still a scam. So what they do is they'll actually get into that phone number somehow or make up a ghost phone number, as we call it, and call that local area. So I look at it, oh, it must be somebody from around here, and then it ends up being a scam. You can't trust phone numbers you can see. It could have 403-780, and you think, oh, it's Alberta. 204 Manitoba, and on and on. On my cell phone here, I have 5 fake cell numbers from across, mostly Ontario and Quebec, that I can go online and purchase or get for free for a trial a fake cell number to communicate with people. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. So when you see numbers pop up, as for them getting into your phone line, no, SaskTel, different places have that built into their system where they wouldn't allow access into that. They have those flagged, including their internet systems as well. We get files on those as well. So don't trust numbers you see. Okay. Next. We spoke about this earlier, number one cause of loss for North Americans. And we have stories like that locally. Well over $100,000, a lady met someone online, never saw his face, nothing, and sent $100,000 in 1 year. Same thing, car accidents, taxes, injuries. She It took me, and this is a young, middle-aged woman with a high-end management job with a huge company in the city, brilliant lady, very smart, very intelligent, and she lost $100,000 to people that don't exist. They work as a cell out of their sweatshops or wherever else of 5 or 6 people, and every day they come in and they read their scripts. Oh, where did we leave off with so-and-so? And that's what's happened with this lady. It took me 2 to 3 months to convince her that wasn't fake, and I kept proving it. And then I even bettered my job that within 3 months afterwards, she'll get a phone call that from a person that this person that she thought was a new boyfriend was killed in a fiery wreck somewhere on a highway. One morning, she's on the, leaves a message on my phone. You were 100% right. Some barrister called me. Now all I have to do is send $3,000 to get all of his inheritance. So if my forehead is a little flat, that's because I have a wall by my office that I hit daily when I'm trying to convince people. We had another young lady who said she met a military man in Pakistan from the U.S. Air Force. First clue is the U.S. Air Force doesn't have a base in Pakistan. And then she produced pictures. And if you're familiar with a program called Photoshop, well, you can make any picture look like anything you've ever wanted to. And she got emailed these pictures, and she goes, "You're lying to me. You just don't want me to be happy." And she went on and on and on and on. She threw things at me, literally threw things at me. She was so upset with me. And I said, "Will you believe me if I can prove which one's your boyfriend?" Because many of them were group shots, and that's all I saw were the group shots of the Air Force. And the one was so bad, the guy's head was literally off his shoulders a bit. And I said, "That's him." "Well, how did you know?" I said, "Look at that picture." She goes, "Well, it must have been a bad email, or it must have been this." And she still wouldn't believe me. She stormed out of the room, and I haven't heard from her since. It's been so bad that we've actually had physical fake marriages in Cuba and Mexico. And unfortunately, it's women that will go down, in some cases men, but 90% are women that will go down, meet these people. They have this elaborate romantic weekend. They fly back 2 weeks later and get married. But for some reason, the new husband can't join them until the money and money and money. And we had one high-end executive in Regina, got married, changed her name, moved back up, and the guy still hasn't shown up after 5 years. It's sad. There's nothing more that we can do than educate about this, and that's what we try to do. So those are what we call our big three. Passwords. If anybody carries a cell phone, an iPad, any kind of instrument, obviously you should have a password on your account. I thought it was pretty cool years ago to have the same password for everything until I realized after taking a course that it probably would be hacked shortly. We have people today that will still have 1234 or ABCD. And once again, online, you could purchase a program to hack into people's accounts. And it's a matter of hitting one button, and as soon as it locks on it, it'll lock on. So if you use small capitals or letters for everything, you will be hacked eventually on an email or your accounts. And that's why we suggest 8 characters, mix up capitals and lowercase letters and capital letters and numbers. It's a bit of a pain to do, but think of something that you'll remember and just mix them up, and it'll be very, very tough for people to get into. And there's one site, and there's hundreds of sites, but the one that we like to use, passwordmeter.com. It's like you're back in school, you enter a password, they'll give you a rating on your password or a grade, and what we tell everybody is make sure it's an A or above to do it. You can write like a 3-letter one, they'll give you an F, 4 will give you a D, just like in school, they'll give you a mark. So it's probably the highest mark I ever got was using my password, because not a lot of A's happened years ago. So, overpayment scam. If you've ever had an ad on Kijiji or used Regina, you have been attempted to be scammed. You don't know it. What will happen, the basic scenario is someone will want to purchase something instantly from you, sight unseen. They need it. The problem is they're not around Regina. They're either overseas or, well, I'm away with my daughter, but I'll tell you what, I'll send you the money. Once you get the money, you can trust me, you cash it, and then send me the item. The check comes in the mail. It's always, looks legitimate, always a business account, always is $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 more than the actual object, depending on the price. "Oh, I'm sorry, I sent you too much. Can you turn around now cash that check and send me some money back with the item to this address. Or at least send the money back and I'll give you a different address for your item later on, a shipping address. So you get this check, looks legit from a business, cash it for $7,000, put $4,000 in yours, send this guy back $3,000, and in 2 weeks you get a call that your $7,000 check is fraudulent and you're on the hook for it. This happens probably on a daily basis. We only get reported a few times because people are too embarrassed to tell that this has happened to them. So we don't hear all the stories, unfortunately.
Yes.
The bank can't tell out a paycheck.
I can go to Staples. I love Staples, so this is my example, though, in Regina, and get the best quality check stock available with the highest end printer available and make up super high-end checks. And they're not from your... And this is, we're talking Saskatchewan government checks, SGI checks, government Alberta. We had a whole bunch of Alberta ones 3 years ago that came through. Banks are busy. They either put them through the deposit or in line, and very seldom they actually check the checks. We've had some really, really poor ones too. But the teller will look and see the, well, it's a business. It's got a name. It's got a kind of a fake hologram thing off to the side. Looks legit, and then once it goes back through their processing systems when they find it.
And sometimes it's from a law firm, from a Dean said, from big businesses that are writing millions of dollars in checks.
Yeah.
So the ones they're doing on these scams are $10,000, $20,000. We just had one recently,
the oil
$350,000.
Yeah.
That the company didn't notice, it was an oil company out of Alberta. They didn't realize it until it was 2 months down the road. So the bank already cleared it. It was 2 weeks later, the person dispersed all the funds, and the bank ended up being out.
Bankers out the money, yeah.
$49,000.
Yeah. That's very common. I've sold two or three things on eBay or on Kijiji or used Regina, and I always get an email within an hour or two. Love your product, great. And it's always the same comment. Love your product, great price, where can I send the money? I want it now. And I just, for the most part, I ignore it. Sometimes, once again, if I'm bored, I'll play along with them for a little while. But once again, that money gets sent overseas, etc. Okay. This was an old scam years ago before the internet really took off, emails, where we would all get letters in the mail that we've won a lottery from Italy or from Germany, from wherever. And Barrister Jones, all you have to do is send this kind of money, etc. It's transformed itself through an email version, but it still exists. And not Reader Digest, the other one where they have a lottery. Publisher Clearinghouse. We've had victims in Regina on fake Publishing Clearinghouse. Inheritance or lottery scams. We don't get a lot of these that actually lose money because people kind of figure out, well, how did I win a lottery? I didn't enter, first of all, and especially overseas. You could trust lottos in Canada. They're registered, Lotto Max, Lotto 649, things like that. But we've had the odd person who had, all you need to collect this money is send $3,000 to the government and they'll give some fake email transfer or bank account and we'll send your money. And we're like, well, first of all, if that was real, why don't you just take it off my winnings if you have access to it? And we have a lady that lives less than two blocks from this church that she has given away so much money with these type of scams, including that they've convinced her that there's a car around the corner that will be released to her if she sends this money. They've delivered it the whole bit. We've had to ban her from every outlet in Regina, Western Union, MoneyGrams, Canada Posts, banks know about her, and she still refuses to believe us. She believes the scammers over us. And I even walk her through the information. And this is a bright, older lady that is on her game. She knows she's suffering from no health effects, nothing, and she still believes them over us. Yes.
Did she get hold of you, or how come you know about this particular lady that she doesn't believe you?
Because, thankfully, we have a really nice lady at Canada Post that's helped us and put her line on the job two or three times that refused to send the payments through because she recognized it as a scam. And then we traced back where all she tried. Now all the companies will call us saying, so-and-so's here. Nothing mm-hmm. we can do. Social Services doesn't want to get involved or can't get involved. We can't arrest her for this. Her family's aware of it. It's her money. She can do with what she likes. And we can only advise her that she'll never see anything. And I can't even tell you how many thousands of dollars she's owed. So it's disappointing. It's super sad when you go home knowing as a police officer that you completely failed somehow to get it across to her. people make mistakes, we talk to them, dumb mistake, move on. But in this case, it's been phone call after phone call for months. And we got a call from Brandy's, she's back. Well, you can't let her send money, so they don't. And meanwhile, she'll take taxis for $100, $200 a day to different places to try to find to send this money out. So, very sad, but just some other ones, real quick ones. Younger people are struggling now to find money, and sometimes their credits are affected, so they will go online searching for different types of loans. And it's an advanced fee loan where all you have to do is send us $600. We'll even give you a really nice website to go on, and I can make up a website in 5 to 10 minutes, legitimately. And the money gets sent. Then we'll say, okay, we'll lend you $20,000, send us the $3,000 interest up front. Same thing. They're out their money. False charities are still around, where if you have a major incident, such as Hurricane Katrina, tsunamis, earthquakes, things like that, they'll start up again. If anybody's ever been around a mall and people showing you books of accidents and stuff, and, oh, I'm from Taiwan, my area was hit, and they show you these pictures, which they have been around Regina a ton, and they'll ask you to donate money, 100% a scam. Before you donate money, make sure you know who you're giving your money to. Okay? Job scams, basically what we talk about, especially with older teenagers in 20s, 30s, things like that, is these job scams that want to pay you to be a mystery shopper. Go around, get a little bit of money, buy some stuff, and report back, send the money back. First of all, there's no such thing as a mystery shopper. People market stuff. Companies will have marketers that will go out and do their own work for them. So we've had lots of people out that. They'll get a check from the company. Same principle, they'll cash the check, and the bank will get a hold of them a short time later. So why seniors? Popular target for a number of reasons. Most likely to have their own homes, a strong nest egg, and easily accessible, and obviously have excellent credit. That's why seniors are the highest rated victims. Today's generation of seniors, I have a father that's 87 years old. They were raised just like you were, to be helpful, trusting, polite, which are perfect qualities for scammers to exploit, because you trust and you want to help, bottom line. We're cynical. Our age group is very cynical. Younger people are cynical and don't trust anybody because of what happens now. Age obviously has a tendency to affect memory, and scammers count on seniors not being able to remember important details when reporting that scam to the authorities. So they prey on the ones they know so they can get the money from, the least resistance. Mostly it's trust.
Dean was saying sometimes, like, I'm new into the section, that's why I don't have to stand up there, I'm not as good looking. So.
That's obvious.
What people will do is they'll phone a grandparent, like you're talking about the grandparent scams, and they'll ask the grandparent, they'll say, you know, they have a younger voice, and they'll say, do you know who this is? And then the grandparent will get back, oh, is this Johnny? And then that's what they do. They write that down, and that starts their script, you know. And they'll talk, and they'll pick information off that person, you know, because they want to give information. If someone's phoning, they want to help them out. So that's a lot of way they get into. It's just the niceness of the generation of seniors is why they'll get that information. Whereas they phone someone my age, that's miserable. I won't give them anything. I'll have a whistle.
Thus the jerk pork.
Yeah.
This is just one small number I pulled off of our... we have a company called Anti-Fraud Center, North Bay, Ontario. It's run by the RCMP. Less than 10% is actually reported to them. I know we don't report a lot to them. Most agencies don't. These are numbers that they specifically had reported directly to them. So we feel it's about a 10% population that does report. So we had... 3,283 complaints, and this is December only of last year in Canada, and these are the only ones that reported it. There's a $7.6 million loss in 1 month with people that reported it. So to me, the real numbers are times 10 that in 1 month alone in Canada. $76 to $80 million for frauds. That's a lot of money. You never win anything over the phone. I tell that blatantly, perfectly. You never win anything over the phone, ever. If you've won something, that's because you have entered something, a show home lottery, 649, a scratch ticket that you've done yourself. You don't win things for free back saying, yeah, you won this cruise, you won this, you won that. You don't. Plain and simple. This is one of the sites that I use. I'll just touch on it basically. Snopes is just, we go through it, and it gives us a bit of more information that we have as police, and it talks about all different types of scams. They get updated regularly, so it helps us keep up to date with different scams that are going on. People can go on it. It's open to the public to go through. It's a great one that will walk you through all scams. You know what the best scam protector in the world is called? Google. If you don't know, type it in. It'll answer it for you. And there's so many thousands of forms out there that will talk you through it and let you know if it's true or not.
Yeah, a lot of times you can just put another email that was sent to you, something that's generic on it. You highlight that text, copy it, paste it into your Google browser, and just hit search, and it'll just get a 20 pages back of this is a scam, this is a scam. They just repeat that same.
Yeah. Even phone numbers. I get phone numbers at home. Kind of looks legit. I'll take it, put it in my Google, and there'll be hundreds of posts on it. Oh, this is from, SIAS is doing a survey right now around Regina. It's kind of legit, we think it's legit, but then there's other ones that do surveys that just try to get your information. So on these forms, it'll tell you what's real and what's not real, just by entering the phone number alone. Phone number, question mark. It'll pop up through Google. I did a presentation, if people are familiar with Mosaic Potash, it's a huge potash situation and minerals in Saskatchewan across the world. Did a presentation with them, and this is their Facebook page, if you're familiar with Facebook. It's actually my Facebook page. I made one up in about 5 minutes, and by doing that, I can go and ask money from their clients, from different people, set up a fake account. I just showed them how easy it is to set up a fake Facebook account. It looks legitimate, but it literally took me 5 minutes to do it. Tops. So if I can fake something, think of someone with a really strong computer background. Phishing, not the good phishing that we know about, but phishing means the act of defrauding an online account holder of financial information by posing as a legitimate company. Happens very common. It's very, very difficult to see, but is anybody familiar with PayPal? PayPal, online merchandiser, you send money through. They are a very trusted site that deals a lot with eBays and other major financial or store companies. 100% strong program. Somebody one day made up a fake website, and all they did, instead of saying paypal.com, they just put an E in front of it. So when you get this email and they click on the agree part, you go into a totally different website that looks legit, looks like a real PayPal account, and you enter your information and they suck your money out of your accounts by one letter only. So be super, super careful. I'm always telling people when they get emails, be super careful of the emails you get. Banks, they had a real problem with Nova Scotia years ago, Bank of Montreal. It looks real, but put your cursor over it, and instead of saying Bank of Montreal, it'll come up with a bunch of X's and Y's and L's and just garble on the by the cursor. So if you're not sure, look into it. Check into it. Also, getcybersafe.ca.ga is the government-run program that, once again, it's another way to search different things for your own teachings, your own learnings. And then seniorliving.about.com is a fantastic site for seniors to use. It's up-to-date monthly about what active scams are going around the community in Canada, as we talk about a community. The problem is, and I'll end it on this, is 90% of our frauds or computer crimes, the money gets sent away from Canada. Lots of United Kingdom. United Kingdom won't even look at a file of ours unless it's over $100,000. Lots go into Somalia, Nigeria, the Ukraine, Russia, China. Romania was really bad for a while. Jamaica, Malaysia, we all go to. We have problems getting American police to read our files and to look into files for us. Canada police, not a problem. American police, it works, doesn't work, depends who you talk to. Now can you imagine going to a place like Nigeria, where the average income is very, very low, up to $1-$2 a day, and these guys are working in their cafes, and the government's done a great job. They've produced a fantastic organization, and they've really made a difference. But the first person that they suspected, and I believe arrested 7-8 years ago now, was the chief of police in Lagos, Nigeria. So if it's that embedded and then webbed out, and it starts at that point, think how tough of a time their own governments are going to have controlling that crime. So for us to get that money back, it will never happen. We have no access to those countries whatsoever. And don't forget, not so much in that area, but with Somalia and the UK especially, a lot of that money goes to terrorist activities. Probably 80-90% is off the top and straight to the terrorist cells. So it may seem like a little amount here and there, but you talked about the $1 point some million of the dating victim. There's a good chance that $1 million point some went to a terrorist organization for their funding. Sorry, Scott, but it's facts. We've proven it on a couple files in Regina where they've raided a department block where the checks went to in Nottingham, England, and the department that was raided because Al-Qaeda was there. And 13 people or 12 people were arrested in that exact apartment block where we traced the money to, where it was physically delivered by a courier from a victim in Regina, Saskatchewan. So it seems a little bit sci-fi and a little bit out there, but that we can prove factually. So thank you very much for having me. I hope I didn't ramble too long. I know my wife wouldn't let me talk this long at home, so I appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Every time I turn on the TV, there's somebody advertising a dating service. What's the score on those?
The dating services are buyer beware. Most are very, very, very legit. In this day and age, people meet on the internet. But make sure you can see the person face to face. Not you'll never see the person ever. And you'll be able to tell right off the bat. There's no criminal. People that run the dating sites, we have no worries about criminal activity. But once you're in there, you're on your own, as do all their warnings come up.
Must be a lot of money turned over on these things.
Couldn't even tell you. Millions and millions and millions. And that's just the ones in Canada alone. Because if you're on a dating site and you fit a certain criteria, somebody will try to scam you. I guarantee. You'll get a... And if you know enough about computers, there's a way to trace the pictures and where they actually come from. But if you're just a normal person that's on this site, and you get a picture of a pretty woman come up, and you think that's who you're talking to, that's where the scam will start. So we just tell buyer beware. Yes?
How do you get the mail stopped, the trolleys, a lot of these? You've been inundated with those, and we just try to rip them up, and I imagine the post office, and maybe they say they can't do
it. There's nothing they can do about it because it's... Typically, it'll be paid for, so their job is to deliver it, and it's your job to throw it in the garbage. That's how they look at it. Or they'd have to go through millions and millions of letters to stop that. And they hate to say if one was a real something or a business letter that they threw out, they'd be on the hook, so they send everything through that's not suspicious. She's wondering about mail, like how you could stop these mails from coming, like the lottery scams in your mailbox. You just can't. You just got to pick it up and throw it out. No other way around it, unfortunately.
All over the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gets on.
Yeah, and if you ever fall for any kind of scam, you'll be sold on what they call a sucker's list, and they go for pennies on the dollar across Europe, and you will get non-stop calls from that day forward, and you will have to change your phone number eventually, because you'll get calls at all hours of the night from people.
How about the no-call list? It doesn't work.
No, because as I say, I can make up a fake phone number in seconds. Yeah, no call list. I'm sure it works for some things, but I don't know anybody that actually uses it because it's so easy to scam and ghost phone numbers now that once you stop one, they'll push a button and create another one and be right back at it. Yes?
What about some of these organizations? Generally, it's a charity. They say they're the charity of some kind. Perhaps even Kempton. They send you a nice looking calendar or something, and then in a month later, they will bill you for it. It's not quite.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't ask for it, don't pay for it.
Okay. No.
Your best bet is to with companies like that. With there's enough local agencies where you could physically go down to that charity's office and ask the questions. We always tell people not to do anything over the phone, meet in person. Like banks will never do any business over the phone. They'll say, please come down to your closest person and meet with this manager. But if they refuse to, it's a scam. As for that, I haven't heard a lot of that, but I know charities around. And we've had, and I'm speaking churches generally in Regina, we've had at least four huge churches get scammed with people that infiltrate the church system. and they'll raise money and raise this and raise that, and the money never made it to where it was supposed to go, and these people will disappear. Not a lottery, John. It's very prevalent in Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal. But we've had four huge ones in Regina where the church's money was entrusted to somebody else, like they should. Like, you believe that the good is going to happen, but they've walked out. So they've actually infiltrated churches in Regina, as we all look around. No, I'm just kidding. Any other questions? Thanks again for lunch. It was unbelievable, and appreciate your time.
Well, this was not only enlightening and informative, but also very entertaining, too. I hope that we might be able to call you back for part two in the fall. I'm sure you have more to share. My aunt passed away 2 years ago, and she was on one of these scam lists, and my dad was responsible for her financial affairs, and it was $5, $10, $100, here, there, and everywhere. The funniest one, if we can say one was funny, was my dad asked, he said, "Aggie, why did you send $10 to the White House?" And she said, "Well, because they said it was for President Bush's birthday." But it wasn't the White House address. So, anyways, fortunately it was only $10. Anyways, we thank you all very much, and we thank Mark and Dean, and